Well, this morning we are continuing in our Easter sermon series, The Seven First Words, which is a series where we are looking at the very first things Jesus said after he was raised from the dead, the first words that came out of his mouth after he traveled from eternity and back. And so we've looked at some of these stories of Jesus' encounter after Easter Sunday, stories where he tells his disciples, "Why are you weeping?" Or, "Have you caught any fish?" And this morning we come to another story of Jesus coming to his disciples and sharing words with them. It's a story that takes place right after Easter Sunday, when the disciples are gathered in the upper room, and Jesus comes and stands before them. As we come to the story, though, I would invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, if you ever shake my hand after church is over, you might notice that on the second knuckle of my middle finger, there is a scar. I got the scar during the 2 weeks I took Taekwondo at the local rec center when I was 8 years old. After my first lesson, I came home. I wanted to practice what I was learning. I went to the kitchen. I practiced. I punched, and I went directly through a glass window. My dad was not amused. I still have the mark today. At age 3, I fell in the living room carrying a children's book to my mother. It split my head open. It took the doctor 5 stitches to stop the bleeding. At age 12, I chewed on my upper lip after some oral surgery and scarred it. At age 17, I fell off my bike and scarred my knee. At age 34, I dropped a barbell on my foot. It hurt. It also left a mark on my shin that does not appear to be going away. You see, everyone has a scar, and every scar tells a story. In the great Greek classic, The Odyssey, when Odysseus returns home after traveling the world for over 10 years, Homer tells us that no one in the entire kingdom of Ithaca recognized him. He had been gone too long. Not even Odysseus' own wife and son knew that it was him. They all thought it was some drifter coming through town. And how was Odysseus finally recognized? Well, Homer says one night his old nurse from his childhood was giving him a bath, and while she was giving him a bath and bathing him, she saw a scar on his leg. It was the same scar he had as an infant, and instantly she knew who it was. She did not recognize him until she saw his scar. Yes, everyone has a scar, and every scar tells a story. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "See my hands, touch my side. Do not doubt," he said, "but believe." It had been a week since Easter Sunday. It had been a week since the greatest story the world has ever known. And now Jesus was back again with his disciples. The disciples were gathered in that upper room. The doors were locked out of fear that they would be persecuted in the same way Jesus was persecuted. And yet Jesus came through those locked doors and stood before them. And when Jesus did return to his disciples, when he came back to them, what was the very first thing he wanted to show them? What was the very first thing he wanted to tell them? Well, he wanted to talk about his scars. He wanted to show them those wounds, those places where the nails had pierced his hands, at that place where the spear had punctured his side. "See my hands," he said. "Touch my side." Jesus showed his disciples his scars. Of course, this begs a question. The question of this scripture, of course, for me, is not why would Jesus do such a thing? Why would he show his disciples his scar? No, I think there's a more interesting question with this passage. And that's this. Why did Jesus have scars to begin with? After Easter Sunday, after he was raised from the dead, why did he still have those wounds? After all, couldn't God have healed those wounds? Couldn't God have restored those marks on his hand and his side? Wouldn't that have been an even greater miracle for Jesus to be given a new body, a fully restored body, not blemished by the sin of the past? So why were the scars still there? In her 2011 autobiography, the comedian Tina Fey briefly tells a story about a scar she sustained as a child. You see, when Tina Fey was just 5 years old, during the spring semester of her year in kindergarten, she said a stranger came up to her while she was outside playing in the yard, and the stranger attacked her. Attacked her in such a way that it left a mark on her face, a cut that extended from the lower part of her left lip all the way to the side of her cheek. In her book, she writes this. She says, you know, people always want to know what happened. They always want to know the grisly details of how I got this scar. Well, I don't want to talk about it. And she said, I'm not interested in acting out some TV movie where you befriend a girl with a scar. I'm not going to tell you my story. Yes, everyone has a scar, and every scar has a story, and some of those stories are painful. Some of those stories hurt. And some of those stories are stories you don't want to talk about, more or less share. Some of those stories you rather hide, and could there be a more painful story than the one Jesus had experienced? Betrayed by his own friends? Crucified next to criminals? It doesn't get worse than that. Would you really want to remember those scars? So then why did God leave them behind? Well, you know, I think the answer to this question is actually found within the scripture itself. I think the answer to this question is actually found in the conversation Thomas had with his disciples. Did you catch it? You see, the disciples all told Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the Lord, but Thomas said, I won't believe it. I won't believe it unless I see the marks in his hand and put my hand into his side. Until then, I will not believe. Believe what? Well, believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. You see, for Thomas in the scripture, those scars on Jesus' body, they were not marks of suffering or pain or regret. Those marks on Jesus' body were instead signs of his resurrection. They were evidence to Thomas that Jesus was alive again. They were signs not of Jesus' humanity. Instead, they were signs of God's strength. They were Easter scars. And Jesus was there. He came again to share those Easter scars as a sign of hope to Thomas. He offered those wounds freely to let Thomas and all the other disciples know exactly what God had done, exactly what God could do. They were signs of hope. And so I went to visit a child once who was at the burn center at UNC Hospital. An 18-month-old who had fallen into an open campfire over Labor Day weekend. When they finally got him into surgery, they found that he had burns over most of his body, especially his hands. I went to see him. I asked his mother how he was doing, and she smiled. It was a tired smile, but she smiled, and she said, he's going to be okay. She said, the doctors say it's going to be a long process, but everything should heal, everything that is except his left hand. She said, when he fell, he braced himself in the fire with the left hand. Doctors say there's going to be some nerve damage there, some scars that it won't go away. He'll have limited use, but overall, she said, he should be okay. said, I'm so sorry to hear about his hand. She said, honestly, we're just thankful. You know, it could have been so much worse, she said. It could have been so much worse. And the way I see it is, he's so young, he's not going to know any different. And every time he looks at his hand, every time he sees those scars, she said, I think he's going to remember his life is a miracle because he should not be here today. He's going to look at that hand, and he's going to remember all of the people who have been praying for this family, all the people who have supported us, all of the people who have helped us get through this. I think that hand is going to remind him of that. Yes, every scar has a story, and every person has a scar. Now, I know, you don't want to share those stories. I know. You rather cover up those scars. You rather put on the long sleeves, put on the makeup, let everyone think that you don't have any blemishes. But have you ever thought maybe that scar is the one thing someone else needs to see in order to have hope? Have you ever wondered if maybe to someone else, that wound that you are so ashamed of, that wound is actually one of the most beautiful parts of your story? Not because it reveals your weakness. Instead, it is a sign of God's strength. That scar you carry with us, it is a reminder of what God can do. You see, God leaves us with these Easter scars as a sign of hope, as a sign of hope to the world, so that other people might know that resurrection is truly possible. Bishop Will Willimon tells a story of a woman who came to his office one day after suffering through some tragic life events. Like Tina Fey, this woman had been the victim of a violent crime. She had been attacked one day in her yard, and, well, she had gone through years of counseling to try and process all of the emotions of it. She sat down with Bishop Willimon, who was her pastor at the time, and she said to him, you know, I've talked to my counselor recently, and my counselor thinks that it would be a good thing for me to tell my story to someone who's not in my family. My therapist thinks it'll be a beneficial help to me to be able to kind of get it out there to a non-family member, someone I don't know that well. Bishop Willimon said, well, that's great. That sounds like a great way forward. Have you thought about who it is you want to tell your story to? And she said, yes. He says, yes, I want you to set up an appointment with me to talk to Harry Jones. You see, Harry was the sometimes recovering, often not unemployed alcoholic of the church community. Harry had held and lost more jobs than anyone in the congregation could even remember. Really, Bishop Willimon said. You want to speak to him? There's not anyone else in the congregation you'd rather talk with? Maybe another woman? Wouldn't that be a more appropriate person to share your story with? And she said, no. And she said, no, it has to be Harry. Because I know for a fact that he knows what it's like to travel through hell. And I need him to tell me there's another way out again. Yes, everyone has a scar, and every scar has a story, and are you willing to share yours? Are you willing to bear your wounds so that other people might know new life is possible? Are you willing to share your scars so that other people can know what God can do in a person's life? Are you willing to get that vulnerable? Because that place of vulnerability is the very place where God's love begins to break through. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, but God left the scars behind, so that other people might truly know new life is possible. Jesus showed his hands and his side to his disciples, and they truly believed something good could come. They believed because they had seen the scars, and they knew what God could do. Easter scars. I bet you have a few. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that indeed you are a wounded healer. a healer who knows what it's like to suffer, and yet a God who knows what it's like to bring new life, new hope. And so we pray, oh God, that where we have experienced brokenness, that your love would shine through, that you would remind us of the good you have done, the good you can do, the good you will continue to do in our lives. God, share your love with us this day, so that we indeed might share your love with others. For we offer this prayer and all our prayers in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.